Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So there's a misconception that if you're single, you are incomplete, perhaps damaged, salvaged, and you won't be happy until you find your one. And that is not true. That is bullshit. It is a message that has been fed to us by media and advertising. The truth is, when you're single, you have the richest soil for growth. That's why I created this podcast. And unlike other podcasts, this one is host-driven, not guest-driven. That means I will be rotating health and wellness experts 3 times a week to give you the giant box of wellness crayons, not just the primary colors, so you can start building a meaningful life. It's time to give singlehood a cape.
Here we are. Hi, it's Sean Cardinale, sex and love addiction coach, and it is my pleasure to once again get on the Single on Purpose podcast with Amy Brown. How are you, Amy, and who are you, Amy?
I'm great, thank you, and I'm excited to be chatting with you again, Sean. I am a meditation and mindfulness life coach, so I work with clients one-on-one and small group clients to navigate breakups, divorce, separation, any kind of healing and integration after relationships, and then hopefully to enter into new, healthier, more respectful relationships.
That is exactly what we're working on today then. We're talking about, not working on. This doesn't feel like work. It's so much fun to do podcasts with you. Amy and I have a tendency to pick a early spot in the morning. And just drink some coffee and bullshit over relationships. And yourself, your accolades are perfect because, relationships after some kind of split, hard choice, tough actions, and then how to heal from that. So that's, I myself am divorced and we've gone through that whole process. And then in the process of being a recovering sex and love addict and getting through the codependence and getting through the rancor. We've had a podcast on the rancor of divorce, how so many fucking divorces are ugly. We have like a part 2 and 3 for that one too, but we'll come back to that. Today is dating after divorce, which is right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Which is like what everyone just wants to dive into often after a split. And the funny thing is often they're encouraged by friends who are in relationships, like, no, you got to get out there. You got to get, like, now's your chance. Now you're single. Get on those apps. Like, get out there.
Right.
Like, it's such like they imagine the grass is so green in that single dating party pool. Mm-hmm. The reality can be quite different. We're here on Single on Purpose podcast. And I think that actually is the very first lesson that no one wants to learn when they first break up, split, divorce, you know, and it doesn't have to be a divorce, just any type of single or any type of significant relationship. The important lesson is to take time to focus on healing yourself, integrating the emotions from the past relationship, learning any lessons so you're maybe not going to repeat the same patterns. It's actually from a spiritual and a mindfulness perspective, it's a beautiful time to actually focus on doing some self-work, some taking some time for yourself, learning to meditate, be more mindful, go for walks in the woods, you know, start going to the gym, whatever it, get back to doing your art or your music or whatever your thing is. And a lot of people want to shortcut that process. Like a lot of people just want to dive back into relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you had a story where you actually were told, you're going to have to take some time and just focus on you. And I think that's the best thing, you know, take some time or else it'll come later if you try to shortcut it.
Right. No, it was difficult. You're right. It was my, when I did finally divorce, and we worked as best we could before we did. It was 12 years ago, probably now. That seems like just ages ago. But yes, my sponsor in 12-step, in the 12-step recovery groups I was in, and my therapist both. It's almost like they tag teamed. It's almost like they called each other one night and they're like, we are so going to like slow Sean's roll. And they did. And it was really difficult for me to swallow and to accept. But 12-step is all about acceptance. And yeah, they made me take a year off, and I took their advice, and it was some of the best fucking advice I'd ever taken. In fact, I ended up probably going about a year and a half, not quite 2 years, but it was definitely a year, maybe even more than a year and a half. And yeah, just exactly what you're saying. I got to know myself, because if it was 12 years ago, I was right around 40, very late 30s, turning 40. And like you're saying, so many people just jump right back out there.
Yeah.
And we can do that. It's fine. We do that our whole lives. I mean, I have so many clients, of course, you might too, who are these serial daters, you know, or like these serial monogamy missed persons, which is fine. They're just like 1% at a time, but they never stop to just breathe on their own, you know, and just be with them. And I think we're acculturated to not do that anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Well, which is really weird, because in America, I know you're up in Canada, that our nicer friends in the North are not so, never mind. Let's not go political. Anyway, our nicer friends in the North, but we're so, you know, the individualism is so sort of inculcated down here in America. But on the other hand, with relationships, there's just this tendency, maybe it's not acculturated, maybe it's fucking genetic, who knows, to just jump in and be with someone and let me, you know, it's that Jerry Maguire thing. You complete me. We're all looking for the other half. It's like, no. And you know that, I know, you know, you've probably said this to 1,000 clients. No, I am working to be whole. I hope they're working to be whole. And then we can come together as 100% each, rather than I'm 50, you're 50, and let's come together. Fuck that. I kill that analogy every time I hear it now, yes. The Jerry Maguire one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Our goal is to be, Dr. Bruce Lipton quoted, our goal is to be noble gases. So noble gases, which can spin on their own. They don't need another gas, and they don't need another element to complete them. So you want to be noble gases, able to spin on your own, but then choosing to be together, because when they come together, they create something that is much greater than the sum of the two gases. So it's good. They create something really incredible.
That's amazing. You like straight went chemistry there. Like, yeah. And I bombed chemistry. Drop so that maybe in. That's why I'm drop the mic, drop the chemistry note in. That's probably why I'm a sex addict in recovery and now a coach on it, because that was not my bag. But no, that was an awesome, awesome reference. And it's interesting what you were talking about. Take your time. The very first note, I told you I had like 5 or 6 notes before we got on. And my very first line is take some time first.
Yeah.
Be single on purpose. Be nudge, nudge, purpose. Wink, wink. That's the podcast we're on.
Yes.
But it's important.
It totally is. And everyone wants to shortcut it, because it doesn't feel nice necessarily to have this, you know, you perceive you have a void, you're missing out on life, like the FOMO thing. And you're just, for some, a lot of people, it's very uncomfortable to be with themselves. And some people never take that option. You know, some people never want to ask themselves the hard questions or introspect at all. However, I would suggest that it actually is a really beautiful time to get to know yourself. And then once you've had that time, and I also took probably about 14 months, similar to you. And I can't emphasize this enough, but if you shortcut it, it will come back later. Like, you will have to do it. It's only optional as to when. So I'm going to not every case is different. Sure. Some people hop into a new marriage and they're off for good. Great. That's fantastic. But that's the exception, not the rule. And it really, and I think even those people would probably in hindsight look back and say, oh, it kind of would have been nice to spend a little time with me, you know, just to get to know myself. And there's a lot of processing that's happening, right? Like right down to a cellular level, your whole body is shifting after a significant relationship breakup or a divorce. Mm-hmm. And that can't be underestimated. Like, that's a massive change that's going on. So I really do think that trying to just quickly fill the void or quickly numb the pain, quickly move on to something else, that's...
There are going to be repercussions.
Yeah. It's going to come back later. Yeah.
Psychological. Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
And you're going to, and you can imagine the folks that I often deal with, because if we're codependents or sex addicts or love addicts, which people still are kind of like, what the fuck is that? And I just try to explain very quickly that to me, it's very similar to codependence. It's just codependence. We often talk, if it's Melanie Beattie in her books, you know, Codependent No More and all that, it's, she's talking about her mother. She's talking about her family relationship. She's talking about those ties that really sort of fucked within her, her other relationships in her life. And I just say love addiction is like the same thing, except we're talking specifically about a romantic, you know, tie or relationship or pull, where it's this very similar dynamic to codependence, that hyper enmeshment, right? And just that need, as opposed to a want to be with someone. So that, yeah. Oh my God, I have to, that compulsion. So it was interesting when you said that some people wonder if, oh my God, I should have taken the time. And that's why this, and you saying that reminds me exactly why it's so crucial to be single on purpose for a while, because I can't imagine like jumping into a relationship, say, like you're saying, say you're just off to the races. You have this fantastic, you know, thing that's going and you never gave yourself time to process. I almost said process because I'm with the Canadian Amy Brown. And I say process and you say process. And I kind of titter every time you do that quietly over here on the other side of the mic.
You say whatever you want. I never noticed that.
Picking on you in real time. I'm sorry. No, I have another very good Canadian friend and she too is like process. I'm like, I don't say process. Anyway. So if you don't take that break, that time, so say you're in this relationship and it's lovely, but you're like, you're having some kind of internal or personal crisis where, you know, whatever, middle age, work, just whatever the scenario is, right? Some outside circumstance and you want to go take that break and then you can. But then what the fuck do you have to do? Do you have to take a break from the relationship? Do one of those really difficult, awkward, like, let's just take a break, but I love you, but I'm coming back. Or if you don't, if you stay in the relationship, but you're like, honey, I really need to, like, I need, but then you're like, what, you need 2 weeks? You need 3 weeks? You need 2 months? Like, how long while you're still, while the new relationship is still extant, do you go into your process, right? Like what do you, it's fucked up. It's difficult, much more difficult than if you had run through, right, the gauntlet by yourself. And I don't mean to make that sound negative. That's a little fucking dramatic, but parts of it are difficult because if
absolutely.
You're,
you know,
if you're mining your ego and your all the aspects of you, all the facets of you, you're gonna bump into some shit. And that's the wonder of it all, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, regardless of how the relationship ended, we still want to take accountability for our role in it. We still want to learn the lessons that we can from it. And then also, as we talked about in a previous podcast, on an energetic level, if you're still giving energy, even if it's negative energy that you're shooting out towards your ex or the old version of your relationship, old dynamic, if you're still, you know, you're still pissed off about that, you're still, that's energy that you then don't have to give to yourself and you don't have to give to your next partner. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, is it all, can you get rid of all of it? No, that's no. Fine. But for the purposes of this podcast, you want to take some time to make sure that you're not still leaking out energy.
I love that.
Towards the past relationship or the past version of the ex or the past version of yourself. You know, you could be beating yourself up about, oh, I should have done this in the relationship. I should have behaved this way. I should have, you know, like that, all that stuff has to be cleared before you can enter in my opinion, should be cleared. It's, you know, not 100%, but as best you can, so that you're going into a new relationship with a fresh start and you're not bringing a ton of baggage. Right. We all carry baggage.
You are anyway. Yeah, you are anyway. Yeah. So you might as well like try to lose, you know, a couple of the bags along the way. I was going to say you don't want to leave it all unprocessed, right? Yes. And just sitting there, and then it comes out fucking sideways.
Sideways.
And it's spiky. I call it like really spiky energy. It just like punches out, you know, with this really sharp point.
Yes.
I even, right. You want to go into it not thinking, yeah, I didn't have anything else to add on that. It was a tangent that failed, but, I was hoping that people would be, one of the points that I wrote down was that I was hoping people would go into this, like, it's a new phase. It's a new adventure. Think of this shit as your own, like, personal Star Trek. Although I am a Star Wars guy more than I am Star Trek. That way we can be mindful of our fears. Mm-hmm. We can be more mindful of our trepidations. I see a lot of people go into the next relationship with all this negative self-talk, and their ego, like you said, just that ego baggage. And it's like, you don't want to bring in that shitty experience or worldview. You want to bring the lessons and the amazing things that we've learned, difficult as they may be, as opposed to you're still in that shit. Yeah. And you don't have the mindfulness, awareness, and you don't have the awareness to when you're triggered in this new relationship to not respond in the way you did last time. And that is, I'm making the presumption as a coach, and I'm sure you understand, I'm making the presumption that we are like this example of a person that we're talking about is going to just like you say, bring in all the same shit if it's not unprocessed. Yeah. So
agreed. And repeat all the same patterns. I totally agree. So a lot of people talk about that we want to date someone. We want to be the person we want to date. And that doesn't mean you actually want to date yourself, but it means that if you are, let's say you want to date someone who has confidence, are you exuding confidence? If you want to date someone who is really, has a great career, are you passionate about your career? You want to date someone who is kind and generous. Are you kind and generous? Like all those sort of things. So I think there's also, there's a lot of work to be done on ourselves, right? Because we often come, especially if we're coming out of a relationship and wanting to move into a new one, we're a little bit looking for the solutions to be in someone else. And someone else can help through things, absolutely. You can heal with someone else, absolutely. But I do believe that it's helpful to do a lot of the work on your own first, and kind of, as we keep saying, process the stuff, take the ownership from what your role was in the unhealthy parts of the past relationship, learn from that so that you're not going to repeat it. And then at that point, then look to move forward.
I love that. And I have to say I gotta be careful. I'm in a relationship right now. We're really enjoying each other. Before I got into it, I do remember thinking along those lines. Again, not that I'm like some paragon of mental health or relationship health or whatever, but I mean, I've also done the work. I wouldn't be coaching if I hadn't, right? I have to be able to fucking walk my talk. And I do believe I do. And I call myself out in my group sessions all the fucking time on the Single on Purpose, platform or when it was Tat Lab. I'm like, guys, I'm like right here with you. I've done the fucking things we're talking about or that you're freaking out about right now. But I do specifically remember what you're talking about, going like, okay, I don't want to be too wary or like trigger happy about red flags. Like not everything is red flag. I know that I don't want like X, Y, or Z. I've done the borderline thing before. I know how to see those flags right away. But at the same time, also checking myself, like, what am I bringing to it? What can I do to keep working on what I am bringing and offloading or processing or acknowledging, these sort of peccadillos in me, or like we say in 12-step, the old phrase used to be character flaws, but it's kind of, it's kind of coarse. Yeah. We say something a little softer now, but you know what I mean? I just, I almost feel sometimes bad. I'm like, oh my God, am I now like living up to like setting up too high a standard? But again, that sounds, I don't know. I'm fucking this up because I was going to make a joke when you were saying that about, it's not about being narcissistic and like, I want to date me. It's not that, but you want to date healthy. You want to date someone who like knows their shit and can call themselves out on their shit, just like you can. How about that? Did I save my fucking tangent there?
Yes. And that is exactly like you read my mind, because
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because that is exactly what I wanted to bring up as a next point, which is once you've entered this world of working on yourself, whether it be spirituality, mindfulness, trauma healing, recovery, once you're in this world of doing some work and taking accountability on things, I get the question from a lot of clients who are like, well, now that I've done all this work, I don't necessarily want to date someone unless they've also done some work, because otherwise they, for lack of a better term, they don't speak my language. You know, they don't understand what I'm going through, what I've been through, and that can be tricky. It kind of reduces the pool size a little bit more. With recovery, do people want to date someone else who's been in recovery, who's gone through the same experience? What's the sense
there? That's a great question. So it is interesting to go ahead. Like if someone speaks the 12-step or recovery, even if it's not 12-step language and just knows, you know, they had a drug thing and I had a gambling thing, I have a sex thing, they have, that is a really good shortcut, because you know, We had another podcast. We're just going to plug all our past podcasts together on this fucking one. But we had another one about 12-step in general and how it can apply to fucking anything and everything, because we love that framework so much and admire it. And it's the same thing there. So it's exactly what you said. They're speaking your language. Like it's not going to be foreign for me to go like, oh, I got to go third step that, or oh, I got to go surrender that, or make an amends. Like we are definitely speaking the same language. So that helps. And then I think too, though, if it's just someone who is well-adjusted and open, you know, I mean, I guess I would say, Amy, I would rather be in that smaller pool, mm-hmm. Not in some sort of elitist fucking way, but in a mindfulness and healthful way, and be like, I want to meet other people and talk with other people and sit down and have coffee and see eventually if there's going to be some romantic and sexual spark with someone who has done the work. And I have clients all the time like, what's this work shit? I'm like, bitch, it's what I say it is. It's all of this, getting to know oneself. Yeah. And I'll probably get in trouble for saying the B word just now, just flew out of my face. But getting to know someone who has, you know how sometimes, especially if you're in mindfulness work, you do a body scan, right? You're mm-hmm. trying to like slow down your clients and yourself and just get started. Like, let's just do a scan. I call it taking our emotional temperature, right? I want someone who knows how to take their emotional temperature. If the day is going fucking sideways shit balls, they're like, I'm going to step outside for a minute and go do like the things that I need to do. Like you said earlier, walk through the woods. And I almost laughed at that. And I was like, that's very Zen/Jedi, but fuck it. It's great. Like whatever people need to do, go fucking do. Like at least have a process, not be like, and like bottling up everything. Because I am so hell bent on this. We're acculturated just not to even, you know, introspect. And I love how you use that as a verb. I'd never heard it as a verb before. I'd only heard it as a noun. But anyway, so you do want someone who can speak that language and knows themselves. So then in so knowing themselves can convey that clearly and with honesty and authenticity to you and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, yes.
I'll stop there. But you inspired that tangent.
I agree 1,000%. I heard a podcast, I think it was, that Lewis Howes was talking about, and he was talking about dating and was saying that, you know, on the, and this is just a very, something that I'm sure everyone would notice, on the profiles for dating, it's like, I love travel and walks in the woods and sharing a bottle of wine and whatever. And, you know, just these things that are really, really very, very general. And sure,
Hallmark.
That's fine. That's
a Hallmark card. Like, great. You love that. That's good. Fine.
And you know, common interests are good. Absolutely. And at the beginning, you can bond over the common interest, but really, wouldn't it be better to have, you know, I want someone who has a strong EQ, who understands who they are, who has processed some of their trauma, who, you know, who has had some hard times and turned to, whether it's 12-step spirituality, mindfulness, has turned to something that has helped them move from a dark place. Yes, exactly. And that's not for everyone, but I feel like just some of the more deep foundational things are so much more important than like travel and a bottle of wine. you know, because you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, because that actually, even that, like, I love travel and a bottle of wine, just because those are probably like the most ubiquitous things on dating apps. Mm-hmm. Even that, if you were in AA and could not share a bottle of wine with someone, but yet could sit on the couch and be cozy by the fire and have that bonding special time and drink bubbly water, like, is that going to be a deal breaker? Like, it's actually not even about the wine, right? Probably. Mm-hmm. Drink something. It's probably about I actually want someone who's going to connect with me at the end of the day, and we're going to be able to sit and be, you know, and be comfy and be like, actually, and like, who freaking cares what you're drink hot cocoa. I don't care. Like,
it's not- I love hot chocolate. Amy, so basically Amy Brown, everybody is asking that you be more specific in your fucking dating apps. Stop putting the like stamp Hallmark, like, I love, yeah, sunsets, right? At night, you're like, bitch, when else are sunsets? But EQ, you threw that out, but explain that for somebody who hasn't heard it before. Is that emotional quotient? Is that like emotional intelligence?
Emotional intelligence, yeah, emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Basically, I can do my own body scan. Just like you said, it's I can feel what's going on in me, and I take ownership for that versus I'm going to let shit come out sideways and probably come out on the people that are closest to me, because I'm not aware of what it is that I'm not aware of what it is that's going on in my body.
Yeah. Again, so, we're going back to awareness, like self awareness and introspection, having done the work. I know this about me. And I now have a means to express it or release it or whatever the fuck it is. And as far as dating apps, you know, I was very blunt in mine. So one, you know, that could be a whole other fucking podcast, Amy.
Because I want to talk dating apps right now, because this is the go rant on them.
It still may necessitate a separate podcast, but we'll go there. What I was going to say was that I was very specific when I went back out there the very last time and met the person that I'm now dating. And by the way, Hinge.com, if you're hearing this, Sean Cardinale is good with being spokesperson. I'm gonna wear like a little fox suit and like jump around for Hinge.com in a commercial, but I am fine being in the commercials and talking about how you actually can meet someone and really spark through that process. But it still takes the people. It's not the app. It takes like the people that are coming together, but it's really funky in a good way, like funk, like soul, that we met the way we did. But I was very fucking specific this time around, because I took a long break. I took years, actually. I was dating here and there, just like little bits, but I wasn't like proactively coming in, right? And so when I did, I said, I definitely do not want more children. You know, I'm like, I'm not having a kid at like 50, 51, 52. That's not going to happen. So if that is a deal, like I was putting potential deal breakers right out there, not to be a negative Nancy, but to just be like, look, I mean, if this is your, we could get along great, but then, you know, 10 months from now, when the questions really start hitting, like, ooh, when we're making like the rest of our life plans, you don't want to hear like, no, I don't want any fucking kids. You want kids? Oh, fuck, we should have hit that on the front end. And so I did. So I didn't do like walks. So made it very clear that I love Prince, and everybody fucking knows that. I put that on my IG all the time. I don't want kids. And I will do this just for the sake of, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole at all, but I will say this for the sake, since we're talking about what I put on my dating app. I did put up my political affiliations because for me, that's important. It's not for everybody. It is not at all for everybody. People don't care if you're right, left, center, whatever. I do. It's really a part of my identity beyond being a coach. So it was important for me to go, I'm in it, folks. I'm like at a nonprofit. I'm in the hood. I'm working with people, you know, politicians, all the shit. So I just made that clear so that people weren't like blindsided, like, oh my God, you're like this. You're nothing like the fucking app. And I'm like, nope, I am. I put it out there. So you know, you had an idea of what you were getting beyond, again, sunsets and wine. This is like it was like the sitcom laughter after someone hit a button. Amy needs a moment.
Yes. I just love the circle back to the sunsets and wine again. We're going to see like a trend and no one's putting sunsets and wine on their apps anymore.
We may have done the dating app world a service.
You know what? If I completely agree with you about being specific and any clients who are going into the world of dating, you know, I suggest if you want to, one of the ways that I think you can upfront filter through people who are not going to be compatible with you, if you want somebody who has done the work or is into spirituality or mindfulness or trauma healing or whatever it is, I think you can put that straight up and it doesn't have to be like I've been in therapy for 20 years and I want, you know, whatever, but it can be, but it can be, you know, I want, like, this is my favorite book by Joe Dispenza. And that's a fairly, you know, that's a fairly good jump off point. They're going to be like, okay, I kind of understand his mindset there.
And I don't even know who that is. You'll have to say that later, but okay.
Okay. Dr. Joe Dispenza is, he's a neuroscientist, but he's very, prevalent in the world of mindfulness. And, anyways, he's Got someone it. That a lot of people know. Pick any book, pick whatever.
But people would know.
Just today when we, the Path of the Spiritual Warrior, Way of the Spiritual Warrior, Dan Millman. That's like one of the foundational, I'm using it to hold up my mic. That's one of the foundational books of mindfulness and spirituality and made so much of an impression on me that I have a tattoo on my arm. It's, you know, if I put one of my favorite books is Way of the Peaceful Warrior, that and someone else knows what that is, and that's it just sort of says, okay, like this is where this is the vibration I'm thinking on.
If you put Eckhart Tolle, everyone who knows that motherfucker is gonna be like, exactly. Oh. Now on the flip side, I do want to add just a little sort of half note about that is so music is a big deal. I mean, obviously I just mentioned Prince. And you know, and if you like horror versus, you know, comedy or, you know, movies versus novels, some of those things could cut out people. But I will say, be a little more open than that. So be specific, but then still be open with what people are putting out there. Because, you know, I checked yes for people who are listening to, like, you know, Slayer and puke rock and like Guar. And I'm like, that's not my bag. But I don't know. I like some of the other things, you know. So don't take one little article in the app as like, you know, all encompassing, right? We are all facets and have different parts. And maybe someone who does listen to Guar also loves walks in the park, and, you know, picnics, you know, under an oak tree in a field of lilacs.
Agreed. And I do invite people who are finding dating apps tricky to use and not finding a lot of success on them to maybe open their mind a little bit in terms of their what they feel they're looking for, because although you've just like pumped up Hinge, I'm gonna
you like Bumble? Are we gonna go the Bumble route now?
No, I'm just gonna say my opinion on all of them, which is that, you know, they're very superficial and it's they're a business. Their bottom line is to get you to stay on the app. So if you find love and you both simultaneously delete the app, then they lose customers and they lose eyeballs. So, so are they working with you or working against you? I don't know. You know, is there another option at this point? Like this is how people meet in this day and age. So mm-hmm. is there another option? I don't know. I would love to hear comments and suggestions from anyone who has, you know, who has other options. But yeah, it's very superficial. A lot of people, you know, you just kind of scroll through the visual, and visual attraction or personal attraction. Absolutely, yeah, that's mm-hmm. important. However, the stuff mm-hmm. underneath it is actually going to be the determinant of a long-term successful, healthy relationship.
Amy, does it help if I am glossing up my six-pack and taking very good photos, or if she or they or them or whomever, you know, showing their thong? Like, what are photos are just, you know,
thong.
It's a trap, right? I mean, the shit that people put on is just, I'm like, wow, that's, I'm kind of like, do I need to pull the image farther or put it closer to my eyes? What am I seeing right there? No, it's, I'm telling you, that could be a whole other, that's why it could be a whole other podcast, because even what we convey, right? I mean, again, this is where I get into the culture stuff. This is where I get into the nature versus nurture shit and who told us to put up what. And it's, you know, I never fuck with I'm also 50 almost. So it's not like I'm getting up there showing my bodybuilding pictures because I'm not a bodybuilder anyway. But anyway, I don't want to get too tangential. What I did want to do, I'm sorry if that was disruptive, but I did want to say, once you get past the app, then I'm going to try to save this tangent here. Once you get past the app, I want to encourage people to we've already said this, be mindful of their fears, or their trepidations, their naysaying, their negative self-talk. And again, if you've done the work that Amy's been talking about, the introspection, the mindfulness, if you, you know, have your little toolkit or, you know, suitcase, quiver, the arrows in a quiver. Those are the things I'm like, I'm going to pull another fucking arrow out. I need some help. I need to throw out another arrow. Then that will help against like the negative self-talk. Cause say you are, well, like me, 47, 48, 49, middle age, and getting back out there, right? The ego will go to great lengths to impart its shitty little worldview about relationships and divorce, because that's who we're talking about, the folks who are going back out there after divorce, how old I am, you know, how I got here, like, oh my God, I'm post-divorce. It'll tell me everything's wrong.
Yeah.
And so I have to have, like I said, a toolkit, a therapist, spiritual path, choices, have to have some self-awareness, self-compassion, and then self-confidence to get through the phase of putting myself out there in post-divorce, this like personal epoch, and try to manage it, because it's not to be taken lightly. We've had these podcasts before. Divorce is not to be taken lightly. It can be a very difficult and sometimes very terrible experience. And so I just want to encourage people to give themselves a break. Right, get some willingness to learn about themselves. Like we were saying, take that year or fucking three, and become mindful of, you know, not only of your assets and deficits or peccadilloes or whatever, but you know, also know that when you get out there, all confident, putting up on all the Hinge or Bumbles or whatever, that the post-divorce ego is going to fuck with you and just naysay the shit out of the situation. Because of the divorce, oh my God, it failed epically once. Is it going to keep being like that? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people, what do you think about that? I think that's what people really, it's not to have a boogeyman. It's not to work from a place of fear, but your field, mindfulness and awareness and just, again, EQ, read your own emotional terrain.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Completely.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All of our insecurities are going to come up. Our insecurities about the past, the future, ourselves, and the from A Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual text. There's a quote, the ego's mission is to seek but never find when it comes to intimate relationships or special relationships. And so your ego, in order to keep its role in the driver's seat, will take you to the point where it makes you think you're looking for a partner. It makes you think it's doing everything it can to help you further this. And yet it will sabotage it before you get there, if it's still in the driver's seat.
That's fucking amazing. Wait, I don't want to stop you I don't want to kill your role.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
But it just reminds me of how much the ego plays a part in the work that I do then with addictions. It is so ego driven. I have said that the addiction is, now people have heard this over like 18 fucking podcasts, but it's like the Terminator, the 1984 movie, the original movie, right? It has no purpose. It cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped. It has one role in mind. And when we're talking about addiction, it's self-destruction, but it's in the guise of self-help. It has one role. It's not to your benefit.
No.
Right. And people think it is because it's ephemerally pleasurable. And then you go for the next hit and you have diminishing returns. And so you stay stuck in the cycle. So folks who I deal with who are have relationship addiction, love, sex addiction, they're doing terrible things to themselves and other people as a result of this like broken sense of intimacy. Right. This inability to get truly intimate. It's chasing the squirrel. It's the dog chasing the car. And you never get there. And that's why the ego, right? The ego's mission is to seek, but never to find. That is fucking addiction in a nutshell. You just go, go, go. And it's not at your behest.
No.
It's actually killing you.
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically, psychologically, or all three.
Yeah. And it's life. It's life in general. It's relationships. It's your ego. If you're on the dating scene, it's your ego is making you believe, we're going for this. Let's try. And then no, she's not right. She's not right. Cause what? No, she's never going to like us because no, go back.
It'll
go back.
Never
abort,
be right.
Abort, 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 get away, get away.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So, So having the knowledge and the awareness, having the awareness that that's what you're dealing with, that's huge, right?
It is. And with the awareness, another note I wrote down was, when you finally do get sitting across the table, I always use just like you're getting coffee. It's just the easiest fucking analogy. And I use it for my group sessions. Anyway, they don't seem to mind. You're sitting across the table, at a coffee shop, meeting this person. I just want to remind folks, post-divorce, in dating, sitting down, and it's all pretty new, they are not your ex-partner. Don't get it twisted. We like to ascribe features and traits of our last partner with this potential new one, and this is egoic too. It's like defense mechanism, right? But that is such a great way to totally nuke fucking potential right away. because it'll be great. It'll be going good. And they'll literally like say something, do something, have an opinion, whatever, a mannerism even, right? And in our earlier divorce podcast, we were talking about, the couples who can't even sit together at the basketball game for their kid who's on the court playing because there's so much rancor, so much animosity and heat still burning between them, like the bad heat, not the good stuff. And that is sort of, that's taking the steps way ahead of time to not ascribe them with your ex's peccadillos and bullshit. Like that's a whole other story. This is a whole new person.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. It's not your ex. It's not your parents. It's not someone else from your past. It's not. Yeah. Agreed. And that's tricky because, we really do tend to do that. And really probably if we could examine our minds when we're sitting there, it's going through a list of items like she's doing that. She's doing that. She's doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think.
Well, and, go ahead.
I was just going to say, every, again, from a spiritual perspective, every relationship, every interaction is an opportunity to develop our relationship muscles, like going to the gym. Every relationship, every interaction, and, you know, going for coffee, or even just the interaction that you have with the person who is providing the coffee from, you know, all of that is, as humans, we need to work on our interpersonal skills, on our communication skills. And whether it's a date or it's with a coworker or it's, you know, a server at a restaurant, we need to be more aware of how we're interacting with other humans. And I think also after the last few years, I think a lot of humans are out of practice with interacting socially.
Totally. Totally.
So that's probably not helping the dating scene at all.
That's a whole other podcast. Post-divorce and post-pandemic, you're fucked. Here's how we can help. come to our classes, come to our sessions. Amy and I are building a couple of things together too. So yeah. Who knows? Maybe that'll be a part of it. But no, for real. We did get out of practice. I mean, we just stayed on screens for years. You can imagine how that was for some of my clients, right? Myself included. It's like, oh, fuck, I do not want to be in 2D forever interacting. But that's a whole other thing. But yes, having the practice, having the awareness. I have caught myself in this relationship and in other, and in dating prior to doing exactly that. But again, because of the work, years of work. No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. It's all worth it.
So
it really is. It really is. You know, I now I have to not lose clients with that little quip. So 15 years, yes, but for me, it's this is a lifetime thing. This is a journey thing.
Yeah.
Not, you know, there's no finish line for me. I learn more every day trying to date and relate more healthily. And so what I was going to say was that I have caught things, even with my girlfriend now, and I'm sure she has caught shit that I've said or done that reminds her of her, you know, ex-husband or ex-bo, you know, boo or whatever. And it's my job to, again, that's why I made that note. Maybe the note was for myself all along, Amy, not for the listeners, but just to remind myself, you fucker, that's not right. That's not your ex-wife and that's not your ex-girlfriend. This is the new person. And to, remember not to jump to the next three conclusions or hoops as a result of a thing they said, did, an argument, right? I mean, that can escalate pretty quickly about something intense in the moment. To not go, oh, this is like X, Y, and Z, and I've been here and done that, I want to bail, right? Yeah. It's like, don't pull the parachute cord yet. Just keep talking about it. It's a whole different person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we tend to, because of the way our brains work and want us to prevent us from any kind of repeat of trauma, it can even just be like a little glance. It can just be like the way they, you said, like just the way they move, just the way they respond to something. And then you're like, oh my God, this is going to mean, this is just reminds me of my ex who used to, and then it would turn into a huge fight and oh my God, I'm out of here. Like it would just, and really.
You're arguing with your ex.
You are. And really it was just that they like, you know, wink their eye or something like that. It was nothing. But
yeah. I actually had some pollen. It's spring. It's my allergies, you asshole. And now we're broken up. I'm breaking up. I'm taking my clothes and getting the fuck out of here. No. That's exactly what my brain does. And and it's only
all of our brains. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how they work.
It's only through the work. Because it goes right to, for me, because I have, you know, I had a relationship that was, you know, fairly lengthy and, well, whatever about lengthy, but you know, we have children. We went through a lot in a actually relatively short amount of time, and we still have this ongoing relationship because of our parenting and now we're friends. And we talked about that in another podcast. There are plenty of Amy and Sean podcasts. Check them out on Single on Purpose and elsewhere. But yeah, my brain instantly is like, oh my God, my ex did that, and I fucking hated it. Right? I could just dial myself back. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the work that helps me dial back.
Yeah.
So.
And you mentioned earlier, too, that we are working on a course. So I would invite anyone who is listening to, A, send us questions, because Sean and I love doing podcasts. So, like, if you hear this and it prompts some questions, whatever, shoot us a message. on Instagram or through the circle, John Kim's Angry Therapist Single on Purpose Circle community. I think all of our contact information will be below this podcast. Mm-hmm. But Sean, quickly on Instagram, what's your handle there?
I'm just at Sean Cardinale.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just my name.
I'm Amy Brown online. But shoot us questions if you have questions for future podcasts. And Sean and I are creating a course, a healing course. So if you are at all interested in that, we'll give more details as they come. But feel free to shoot us a message if that's something that you might be interested in.
Mm. And that's almost, I mean, I think, are we ending on the plug? It was kind of a good plug.
I feel like we could.
It's a natural progression. Thank you so much, as always, Amy Brown. It's always a pleasure. And I love your insight. And I think we have a good laugh. And hopefully folks can laugh with us while they're listening to this. It doesn't have to be so, so serious, even though divorce and post-divorce is a lot. But we need the humor to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many people going through it, too. So it's nice to feel like we're not alone.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
See you again. Bye.
I hope that episode was helpful. Hey, listen, if you want to share your singlehood journey, if you've gone somewhere, come back, if you have revelations and wisdom, please share your story. It's going to help other people. Nothing makes us feel more connected than hearing other people's stories. So just send me the audio of your story, and you could just record it directly from your phone and email it to theangrytherapist@gmail.com. Also, if you want our Single on Purpose newsletter, go to singleonpurpose.life. That's singleonpurpose.life. You will get tools and articles and other people's stories, and also Zoom links to private gathers. So if you want to join our community, go to singleonpurpose.life. Thank you for listening. Be well. We hope you tell a friend. Hey, before you go, I want to invite you to the Single on Purpose private community online. It's off of social media, no ads, no algorithms. We got forums, we got live groups, we got webinars, and we have social hangs. We also have offline in-person hangs happening soon. So check us out. Go to singleonpurpose.life. That's singleonpurpose.life, and I will see you inside.